Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And I've also got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
We are venerating Tom Dorian again.
You look great today, man. You know how I always just say hello? I'm trying to think of something more creative to say, like, man, it's so good to be here.
You know what?
Thanks for having me.
You know, the day that you do that will be like our last episode. I finally got it, guys.
I'm going to start doing the welcome back, Cotter. Hi there.
No, don't do that. I think you think I look good because I'm sporting a purple, like,
Advent.
Quarter
zip.
For Advent, baby. Advent purple.
I'm dressing the part. And we are in Advent, and I think a lot of people, like, we do this every year. I talk about this, and whenever I give talks, I get asked to give talks. You know, the Altar Guild, or the Society of, you know, left-footed monks or something calls me and says, hey, will you do a little talk during Advent, you know, and they'll have to gather their people together. And invariably, that talk is always about, and it's very well received. It's not the same talk, but it's a variation of it, and that is, we're, you know, knee-deep into Advent, and we've kind of wasted the time. Like, we really have not done anything Advent-y. And that's one of the reasons why...
Kind of like Lent.
Yeah, I think it can be the same way, where there's a meaning and a purpose to the season, mm-hmm. And we're not availing ourselves of the graces because we don't understand the meaning and the purpose, and we don't live it. Mm-hmm. Even when we hear it said, and it's kind of like our last show was... talking about the true character of Advent, you know, and we kind of divide it into anticipation, judgment, and penitence. Mm-hmm. And if we miss that, then we don't really understand fully what Advent is. And so here we are again in Advent, another season where we've basically treated it like the waiting room at the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm waiting to go see the doctor, and I'm just kind of sitting there. And I'm a little sick or whatever, but I'm just sitting there reading magazines that are 3 years old. What am I doing, right? What's happening? And then you think, like, well, I've wasted my Advent again. You know, now that's not really the topic we're going to talk about today.
Right.
But I do want to help people understand, like, today, this is Gaudete Sunday. And so we're talking about this week of joy, a rejoicing. And in the Gaudete, you know, in Latin, it just means rejoice. And that comes to us from the antiphons that are in our Liturgy of the Hours. And it's like rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. This is a time traditionally where people, like the greening of the church, people are starting to get more ready for Christmas. Traditionally, people will start to decorate their houses a little more. Now, I know we've talked about, you know, my house has already got the tree up and whatnot. But there's a lot of people that look at, I know, shame on me, right?
Shame on you.
And I heard that you were listening to Frosty the Snowman. That's your favorite.
He listens to it on loop.
But I'll play along.
Yeah, on loop. No, in his car.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Oh, and in the office?
Jimmy Durante. It's like, Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, man, that's a classic. I know.
I know, because I've listened to it like three or four times myself.
Yes.
You, on loop in your car, is a little obnoxious, but you love it. And I'm not going to keep you from that. But, you know... To your heart's content, Tom, right? To your heart's content on Gaudete Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, traditionally the church does unveil the Frosty the Snowman decorations in the church, right? No, they don't. They don't. Y'all, I'm already, people are like, they've got their hands perched over their keyboard. They're getting ready to write a nasty email. Don't do that. I'm just teasing.
I'm picturing the guy behind the wheel right now, looking to his side. What?
What is he talking about? He's like, my mind drifted, and suddenly they're talking about Frosty the Snowman. Man, I don't know how they got
rewind
there.
And then other people are like, did Jimmy Durante do a cover of Frosty the Snowman?
That he did the original like song that was in the animated cartoon.
That was Jimmy Durante.
That was Jimmy Durante. Frosty. Oh, no, I'm not.
Are you being serious?
So
I didn't know that was Jimmy Durante who did the original.
This is what happens.
You're
now,
dating
are you
yourself.
A millennial?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're dating yourself.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. To all the millennials.
No, actually, I'm not dating anybody
actually, we're dating
else.
Ourselves. We're dating ourselves.
No, you're exactly right. You're right.
But I know who Jimmy Durante is, you know.
No, yeah. You know who he was.
Oh,
you heard some words about
him. Mrs. Calabash,
him.
Wherever you are. Yes.
You know? Okay, you're exactly right. Yeah. That's. But he's the one that did the Frosty the Snowman song, the original version.
Yeah.
Because it was on the animated cartoon. Now, maybe there was okay, historians are now, they're writing nasty emails and saying, no, the actual version was in 1947 by so-and-so,
right.
whatever. But all that aside, the one that I grew up with was Jimmy Durante because he was on the cartoon.
Yeah.
Right, when the, I don't know who, it wasn't Hannah Barbera.
So the same guy behind the wheel's like, all right, what does this have to do with Advent?
That's a great question. That is really a great question. Yeah. I don't know, and maybe we should just reset and act like, greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Dick and Jeff. You know, sitting here in the luxurious booth of the Carter Cafe.
We're kind of joyful in this season right
we
now.
We are. We're having joy, you know? And that's what we're supposed to be. And I guess my whole little diatribe about sort of missing Advent is you can't fully experience the joy of Advent, mm-hmm. of Gaudete Sunday, if you've not really understood the character of Advent. And so you know, I guess if the title of our little episode today is The Joy of Advent, and then I would subtitle it A Season of Hope, right? And we have that hope because we live in anticipation, right? And hope is associated with that. But because we know that God is the just judge, that Jesus is the just judge, and that we have fallen, and that we know that we need to, redemption only happens when there's penitence, when there's sorrow for our sins. And so this is the character of Advent. This is how we prepare to receive the King of Kings as an infant, but also at the end of time. And this is, and also how we receive him every day when we go to a daily mass or throughout the year. And so this is what we need, what we're missing. And so, and it's okay to be joyful at this point. Right, and this is when I would say that if you know, and there are still people who are like, I do not decorate, and I still see them on Facebook, and they all the backgrounds of every meme or everything they type is purple, and it's like I refuse to like have any kind of little boughs of holly, and they're you know, and there's like, well, you don't decorate until the 24th. It's like, okay, is it sufficiently dark? Can we put our tree up?
There's some that do Gaudete Sunday. That's a tradition too. I mean, it's
right. I guess what I'm saying is, and I am not saying that you must decorate before Christmas. I think like the world needs to just kind of chillax a little bit,
right?
And then discover to search for the truth in a reasonable way, and then see how the Lord is speaking to you at that moment. I think that sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, and we start policing others based on that. And then if anything, we've lost the joy of the season, right? We've lost the joy of Advent, that this is the time in Advent when we realize that there is a just judge, and we realize that we must be penitent for our sins, and we realize that we're sinners, you know, and yet we hope, and we hope that the Lord is going to be present to us, and that we'll receive him, and that there'll be room at the end, you know, of our hearts, and that's what the season to me is about, and should be, and we need to be reminded of that. So we don't want to say like, oh, I'm still in the penitential part of Advent, you know.
Well, so building on what you just said, and also building on some of the stuff that we talked about in our previous episode and the themes of Advent, I think we talked previously about the difference between taking and receiving, how our culture is all about take, 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 and about how our faith is really about receive. You know, receive God, receive ourselves in him, receive others in him, and receive the things of the earth in union or in communion with him, right? And I think that this is an important thing. We're talking about joy, and we're also talking about hope, which is, you know, like, so people, there are people who try to take their share of joy, and it could be from trying to fill a hole in their heart through, I forgot what they refer to it as, but you know, when you're using shopping on Amazon and various other things to as therapy, you know,
okay, like, yeah, all right.
Therapeutic.
Yes, I need some me time, kind of like it's a shopping bubble bath.
Right, right. So you're buying stuff, or you might be adding a little whiskey to the eggnog. You know, that could.
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad.
I just want to make sure.
But the point is it can't be something that's not how we come across joy. You're not going to go from a state of non-joy to joy through like buying stuff, through having a little extra whiskey in the eggnog or anything like that. I mean,
vices.
Well, ultimately, what it comes down to is joy is something that's received. Hope is something that's received. Our you know, and I think first let's talk about you know, you can't have our hope you know, is sort of built upon a faith, right? So, like, if you look at what St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, faith is the supernatural grace where we believe that what the church has revealed to be true is, in fact, true. And then hope is the will acting in conformity, the grace to act in conformity with, you know, what your mind has received in faith, right? And then in terms of joy, if we are living in accordance with our faith and living in accordance with our hope, where we know that no matter what happens, that God is bigger than all the miseries in our life, and that he is good, and that he loves us, and he has a desire for our salvation. And this whole Christmas season is a celebration of the fact that he is taking on flesh to step into the muck and misery of our human condition, to empty himself, take on the form of a slave, to show us himself, to reveal himself, but also to, in so doing, reveal to us how we should live so that we can come and grow in union with him. This ultimately is the joy. And so we don't get that joy without taking some time to reflect, to take the Lord in, to let go, to surrender things. You know, right now, Christmas time, this is a tough time because a lot of times it's like there's so much going on. It's like, I have to be in control. I've got this gathering and this gathering. I've got these gifts I have to buy. I've got this event, this family tradition. If things don't go right, everything goes wrong.
That's why I start in June.
Right. You know, yeah, exactly.
Going.
And listen, yes, there is a lot of stuff that is added to the list of things to do, and it can be stressful, and it's tough because you're balancing that with work, you know, and the other stuff that you already have in your life that's stressful. And there's probably draws upon your money resources where you're like, how am I going to pay for this stuff, right? Yeah. You know, but at the end of the day, if any of us here in Radio Land are dealing with any of that, I would recommend highly the Surrender Novena, which is, I think, a beautiful novena that you can just find online. It's 9 days with a beautiful reflections on surrender that I think can really nourish the soul. And it takes just a couple of minutes each day to pray. And whether it's that or something else, taking time, and I would say Surrender Novena plus 10 to 15 minutes of just silent prayer or a rosary with the intent to just let go and surrender and receive and just say, Lord, I'm struggling right now. I'm stressing. I'm not having a joyful time. And I know that this is supposed to be a time of joy. Like, please renew my faith, renew my hope, renew my charity, and build me up in a joy that is bigger than all the stress and all the miseries and pain that are happening in my life. And then once you give the Lord room to do that, then no matter how bad things get, you know, and how tough things might be, if you're in that place of surrender and you're in that place of trust and you're in that place of love and joy, you're going to have a joy that's really infectious and that can be shared by others, and people are going to desire to also receive and live out that joy.
You know, in the beginning of that very long soliloquy, you mentioned, you talked about these sort of these internal aspects of faith and hope. And then you talked about joy, and what's really good about this part of the season and this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, is that, like, to me, the faith and the hope, those are internal understandings, right? Because they manifest in your heart, but the joy is like the sort of the outward sign of the faith and the hope,
yeah,
right? And so this is why I think it's important that we really try to sink in and accept and receive the joy, receive the faith and the hope, so that the joy then becomes a sort of like it shoots out your fingertips and out every strand of your hair, if you have hair. Unlike me, you have a problem there. But you know, at the end of the day, then people can experience that joy, and that joy is what's infectious. That joy is what you know I don't know, just. It's something that needs to be spread, and why that's so powerful, and that the church actually expects us to have some kind of outward sign during this Sunday of Advent, this third Sunday, because otherwise it's not all about internal conversion. It starts there, right? But it needs to go outward, because we're always supposed to be evangelistic people. We're always supposed to be helping those who are in need, sharing you know, our goods as well as the gospel. And at the end of the day, if we're not, then there's a problem, right? There's a problem with the faith and the hope if we're not joyful.
Well, and I skipped, unfortunately, charity there, and I think that that's also a missing piece of this puzzle, because, you know, faith and hope are what I describe, but then, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, but then charity is that divine life within us.
Well, and right, and that becomes, again, an outward, like, movement of the faith and the hope, and so that's where we would see the joy. And I just turned it into joy. It's love or charity.
Well, like, if charity is that fire, then joy is the heat that's radiating out from that fire, right?
Yeah.
And so people know they're near that fire of God's love when they experience that radiation of joy from you, right? And so, but we have to invite God to really take that. But, you know, when Paul says, it's not no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, like, that's what he's describing as that life of charity. And you know, if you're having trouble with faith, hope, charity, we talked about the importance of confession. Going to confession can make a huge difference. Receiving the sacraments can make a huge difference. And the more we're growing in that faith, hope, and charity, the more true joy will be received and shared and radiated and can really touch lives. I mean, that's when people see that joy in a person's Christian life, people, that's the thing that makes people say, ooh, I want that.
Yeah, and you bring up confession, and that's a good thing to bring up again, especially this, because a lot of people don't realize or don't remember that Advent is a penitential season. I mean, it is. That's why we have the purple. And so it's not in the same, necessarily the same character as Lent, but it shares that sort of penitence and sufficient recollection on our parts in terms of our sinfulness and our need for penitence. And so it's like confession is such a great opportunity. It's not so much the act of doing it as the result that comes from it that I think is the benefit that people don't realize so much. Oh, I have to go to the dentist. You know, I have to get my teeth fixed. But that's part not necessarily the most fun on the planet, right? But at the end of the day, being able to eat the steak, like, because you fixed your teeth or whatever, that's a good thing. And so there's something, you're doing this for the betterment of your soul when you go to confession. Think of it like, I love it when Bess, hi Bess, you know, like when it's time to change the sheets on the bed, you know, there's nothing better than getting into a clean, brand new,
crisp,
and they're a little cool, you know, and you get into that bed with brand new fresh sheets. It's like you feel like you're in a hotel every day of your life, you know. And there's something nice about that. And confession is like just cleaning out the cobwebs, cleaning out the problem, the things that you're clinging on to, right? Cleaning it out and getting rid of it. And then it's like you just swept the place clean and you look around and go like, hey, this is actually not so bad. This is kind of nice. And then there's room for the joy. Right, so if you're in a place where you're struggling right now, where you're not experiencing that joy, you're not feeling that sense of hope and anticipation. In fact, you're feeling what, you know, Ziggy was talking about with the burdens, the things that are kind of weighing you down. That's very common this time of year. Unfortunately it's everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And we all struggle with that. But if you're not, this is where it's like there are practical things that the church has, you know, that God has given, Jesus has given the church these sacraments so that these are the rest stops along the journey that are going to refresh us, and they're going to give us the, not just the physical energy and strength, but the spiritual energy and strength to move on and to move towards heaven, to gravitate towards goodness. And this is, I mean, we can't
Which
do it on
joy.
Our own. Yes. Yes, 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 and we can't do it on our own. You can't just make joy. Oh, he's such a joyful person. I hear that about myself all the time, you know. Actually, don't. Tom's looking like, yes, you are.
You are. I'm looking at the purple. I'm looking at your face.
Yeah, and I'm trying.
It screams joy.
No, but the point is, it's like you can't just, it's not like a spigot, like you just turn on the faucet. I think I'm going to turn the joy faucet on.
Church just wants you to step back, just settle down, receive.
The
you know,
step
experience,
back. Man,
yeah,
that's
just,
great
just
advice.
Just slow down and receive it.
So
and
last,
the next thing you know, it just happens.
This weekend had a retreat weekend with Bess's family, and we were all gathered together, you know. And we came home, and then when we were home, we had both gone to Mass earlier in the day, and it was the Immaculate Conception. So Nothing was kind of going on that night.
And was church packed, by the way? Where we went was packed.
Yeah, there was a lot. I did the noon mass, and it was really,
this was
really
6:15 a.m. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Packed. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So we were home that night, and the two kids that lived with us weren't at the home at the whatever, you know, at the time, and so we're like, what are we gonna do, like, before whatever? We had nothing. With all the lights were dim, just the Christmas tree, you know, and a couple of lights around the windows, whatever. And we had music on, mm-hmm. and it was just soft. And I have this little Sonos sound system thing that I put together that, like, the whole house kind of has it. It was nice and soft, and it was like we chilled for like an hour and a half. And that was amazing.
Perfect.
It was very reflective and peaceful. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, you know, your body goes like into natural biorhythms and all that stuff. I don't understand any of that stuff. All I know is your blood pressure goes down, mm-hmm. your worries go out the door. Your heart rate lowers, and it's just, and you sit there and you basically breathe, and it's what you're talking about, like, sit back.
Yeah.
And then Sam, what you were talking about with, like, to receive. You cannot receive. If you are active, you're not receiving.
Right.
Right? You're not receiving the graces that God's trying to give you.
Think about being, not doing.
Yes. Well, and joy also is, it's a response. You know, it's a response that is inspired within us by God's grace, but it's also a response to God's grace, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that's a part of that. There's sort of a dance between the soul and God that occurs, you know, where God leads, we respond, and
it's a nonverbal conversation.
Yes,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And going on, we were talking about confession and forgiveness. You know, we might have some people in the audience who either are, you know, Protestant, have never been to confession, or a Catholic who it's been a long time since they've been to confession, and so they don't have like an active memory of confession being something that's a real blessing to them. But even if you're in that position, I would ask you, have you ever had a relationship in your life, whether it's a parent, a close family relationship, some other form of loved one or a friend, where you've done something where you thought, man, this person, they're going to hate me forever. They'll never take me back. And then you were forgiven by that person for something that you thought was unforgivable, and they welcomed you back. Have you ever experienced that? If you have, you know the joy of being forgiven, and you know that joy that comes with saying, like, wow, I'm loved in a way that's way bigger than I could have possibly imagined here. Mm-hmm. Well, regardless of whether you've even experienced that in your life, God's ready to give you that experience in the confessional. And, you know, that joy that we experience is a joy of a recognition of being like, wait, I'm loved. And it's not some future perfect version of me. God is looking upon me in my sins and in my shame and all the mistakes that I've made. And he's desiring me to love me and build me up in my love. And it's my sins and my shame that get in the way of my ability to receive that love. If you're willing to let that stuff go and receive him, that is what's going to give you that fire of his joy.
Yeah, and all of this joy, it's based in hope. And that's the other thing, you know, this Advent season, that first character point that we brought up in the last show about this being anticipation. Anticipation and hope go hand in hand, and that's what causes the joy. And so we need to always reflect and stop and think about that this is a season of hope. And we're not anticipating, like, Santa Claus and gifts and frivolity and whatever. Those can be some little sidelines, some things that are happening in this season. But really, at the core, remembering the reason for this season, our hope is based solely on the salvific nature of God and Jesus Christ being born, you know, amongst us, taking on flesh. You know, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we see this relationship with the Trinity, you know, that tells us all the things that you were just saying about hope, about that says, you know, there's a God that loves you, even the worst parts of you, because God knows the worst. He made you. He knows the worst parts of you. And so we can be ashamed and think that we're not going to be forgiven. Even God couldn't forgive this. We've talked about the unforgivable sin. Look that one up. We've got a couple of shows on that. But the reality is, in this context, like in this season of hope, we need to eschew and put away, that's Satan sitting on your shoulder going, God doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. You are too despicable, but I accept you for who you yeah, are, yeah. and I receive you, and I whatever. And this is what Satan whispers, and that's why there's brokenness in families, and there's brokenness in hearts all over the world, and in cultures and in communities. There's brokenness everywhere, but if we stop and reflect on the fact that Jesus Christ, in the midst of all of this, was born into this world and basically revealed to us his love and God's love for us, then we should have hope. We should realize, I don't know how it's going to be accomplished because I don't have to accomplish it. I just need to trust that God can, right? That's what Gaudete Sunday to me is all about. We rejoice because we have a Savior. We rejoice because Jesus loves us even when we don't deserve that love, right? And so that's why we need to stop. And Tom, I'll go back to your, you know, chilling out, reflecting, and just be rather than do.
Right.
Don't try
receive.
To deceive. Right. You cannot create your own salvation.
Right.
You can't work your way into salvation. This is not possible. Mm-hmm. Right. It's only because of it's Jesus's free gift to us because he loves us. Right. And that's what this season is about. That's why we have this third Sunday of Advent. What this Gaudete Sunday is to reflect on that joy. And it's like just to get a little taste of the joy that's going to come in a week.
It's not too late to experience it either.
No, and so
if you think you've missed
it. If you're sitting in the doctor's waiting room right now, listening to this, then you need to realize, hey, it's not too late.
Right.
I mean, it's not too late. That's one of the beautiful hallmarks of our faith. How many deathbed conversions are there? We hear about, John Wayne, rough and tumble guy, whatever. He had a deathbed conversion. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. We can have a sort of a end of Advent conversion, mm-hmm. Converting to joy and hope. And let's all celebrate Gaudete Sunday in that way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.